All right, guys, welcome to the Thursday call, noon call. Chris Alcino here filling in for Shinoa. If you've got more questions, get them in and going. We've been talking about a little bit of lending stuff, but let's go ahead and start a recording and get these questions going, okay? All right, so first question. Marie says, should we evaluate the deal or the property in person as part of the due diligence? So what we're talking about is if you were loaning to another big dog on a property, should you evaluate the deal or the property in person? Marie, absolutely. Lenders do property inspections all the time. Typically, the way a lender does a property inspection is they send out an appraiser. Okay, the appraiser is their eyes and ears and boots on the ground, right, so to speak. The appraiser is going to go through. They're going to do a lot of the due diligence that we do as a lender when we're doing CMAs on a private loan. So appraiser kind of fills that void. Okay. And they're going to take pictures. They're going to take photos. They're going to make notes of any deficiencies or repair work that needs to be done, all that kind of stuff. Okay. So absolutely. If you want to loan on a property, you go out and inspect it. One of the last properties I loaned on, was to a big dog down in Austin. She was doing a property. I can't remember where it was. It was between here and Austin. I'm in Dallas, so it was kind of out by the Tyler area, somewhere around there. I actually jumped in a private plane, rented a private plane, and I flew down and inspected that property because I'm a pilot. So I had a bunch of hours available to fly. So I just flew a plane down there 2 hours. Actually, I guess about an hour and a half flight. She picked me up at this little tiny airport, 20 minutes to the property. It was a lot of fun, right? But I went down and inspected that property before I loaned on it. I went down and I looked at her rehab bid and looked at the property, and I did my own estimation on rehab before I loaned on it. Okay. Absolutely. And then I did give her a draw schedule, but I didn't do follow-ups, but I did make her send me pictures, okay? It was a little far to go down and drive every time I wanted to just check on repairs, but I did make her send me pictures of the repairs, and there was some big issues with the contractor. We did work through that. As a lender, you got to stay involved, so get personally involved in your deals, absolutely. Let's see. Wes says, for private money loan for 6 months, if you paid it off in 3 months, would you still be responsible for paying the other 3 months interest on the loan? Wes, what a fantastic question. So, let's see. Typically, so it's all negotiable, Wes, to start, right? That is negotiable. However, my loans, I put in a minimum of 90 days interest, right? So the loan I made, that was a 6 month loan that I ended up extending for another 90 days and getting extra points on. I actually said, hey, if you take this loan out and you pay it back in less than 90 days, you owe 90 days of interest on it, right? So you owe 3 months. You could make that 6 months. Hey, you want a 6 month loan? Okay. I want a minimum guarantee of 6 months interest. So it's all negotiable, and you can absolutely do that, but it does have to be documented and in the loan docs that are recorded, okay? So it does have to be in the loan that gets signed and in the I'm not sure if they put that in the deed of trust or not, but it's in the mortgage, in the loan. So it is stated and owed, and you decide, all negotiable, okay? But it's a smart thing to do, in my opinion, right? Because otherwise, somebody may say, I may come to you, Wes, and say, hey, I want an $80,000 loan, but I only need it for a week. And you say, no, I don't do that. I'll give you an $80,000 loan, but, it's going to cost you 6 months, right? Because if you didn't, I could come to you and say, hey, Wes, I need an $80,000 loan, and I'll need it for about 6 months. Does that work for you? And you say, hey, yeah, great. So, you loan me that $80,000 for 6 months, but it doesn't state that there's a minimum interest guarantee, and then next week, I return it back to you. I pay it off. Well, I'm paying a week's worth of interest, right? And you're like, man, that wasn't even worth the hassle of all the documents I had today, right? Even though me as the borrower paid for all that. It's like you didn't make any money on that. But hey, I had $80,000 for a week and I got a lot done with that, right? So yes, minimum guarantee on interest, very smart. Let's see. Wes says, what's an example of a shortage in area? Title policy line 8B or line 8, like the difference between legal description and the map. Yes, exactly. That's exactly what it is. If there's a shortage in area based on the survey, so the survey is showing one thing and the legal says it's something different. If it's short, the title policy covers that. They will fight that, argue it, fix it, pay you, do whatever, right? So that's what that's for. It just ties the survey, you know, any shortage in what you're buying, right? If you're, you know, legally you're buying X and then the survey shows something less, it ties that in, or vice versa. You may have to actually talk to Alan to find out the details, but the point is you're protected against receiving less than you purchase in real estate. Okay, based on that land size. All right, let's see. Mubashar asks, what final amount to write in the TREC contract on number 3 sales price line A, and what amount in line C if the property value is $330,000 buying at 70%? Let me see if I understand the question here. So the subtotal would be 231, which is 70% of the 330. Rehab is 20. Payoff is 181,000. So what's the purchase price, Mubashar? That's so if you let's see, what amount is running the TREC sales price and what amount in line C if the value is 330 buying at 70%. So it's 330. You're buying at 70%. That's 231,000. Then A is the cash portion, right? So it would be 231,000. C is the finance portion. So if you're paying cash, there is no finance portion. It's zero. So B and B. And C would again be the total of the two, which is 231,000 plus zero financing equals 231,000. Okay. So that's how that works. If let's say I were, what that means is if I were, let's make this math simple. Let's call it a private loan. And I said, hey, the loan's going to be, you know, I send you a lender, my contract. And I say the loan, the property is $100,000. And it's, zero cash. So line A would be zero. Line B would be $100,000 because that's what I want to borrow from you. Line C would be $100,000 because A, zero cash, and B, $100,000 in financing is the total purchase price added together, right? So C would be $100,000. And you, Mubashar, say, hey, Chris, I'm a lender, not an idiot. You need some skin in the game. I want you to put at least $30,000 down. Okay. So now those numbers are going to change. A, which is the cash portion, is going to be $30,000. That's my skin in the game. B is going to be $70,000 because that's all you were willing to loan. So I had to come up with the other 30 to make the 100 because the 100 is the purchase price. 30 cash in line A plus 70 financed in line B from you equals 100,000 in line C purchase price. Okay. So that's how that works on cash, finance, and total price. Okay. All right. Let's see. Simon says, quick question. If I put an offer on a home, which is only 2 or 3 years old, what's the Texas state law with regards to builder's warranty? And how does that get transferred to a new buyer? Case in point, a home I'm looking at is roughly 3 years old. The stucco looks like there may be a problem. In my mind, the stucco is part of the structure and should be covered under a warranty, under a builder's warranty. Yes, it should. And so you have to, so if you're buying from the homeowner that bought new, right? Number one, find out, take a look at their contract and their warranty information. They will have warranty information, just like buying an appliance or buying a car or anything else. The home comes with a warranty from the builder. The builder may say there's only a 2-year warranty on materials and defects, right? He may say there's a 10-year warranty on foundation. That's just like cars, right? Hey, you got a 2,000 mile bumper to bumper warranty, but I'll give you 100,000 on the drivetrain because that never goes out, right? Which doesn't include the engine. It's just the underneath drivetrain. So you've got to look at that and find out what that warranty is from the owner, right? And especially if they're the first owner, if it's a lifetime transferable warranty, then you need to make sure it got transferred. If there's multiple owners from owner to owner until the owner you're buying from actually has that warranty in their name. If they don't, then you have no warranty, right? So any warranty that existed, you could go back to the builder, but if I were that builder, I'd say, hey, yeah, sure. Show me the documentation. You bought this from the third person that owned it and the warranty was never transferred. So it's not a legal warranty. Yeah, I'm not honoring that. Okay. So that's how that works on builder's warranty. And it can be anything, right? A lot of builders, warrant certain things for a couple of years, and then foundation things for 10 years and stuff like that. Just check it out and see what the warranty was and if you got anything to claim and if it's transferable. Let's see. Wes says, what's the difference between an appraisal and a BPO? Good question. So let's talk about a couple of definitions. And I will tell you guys, hey, it's 12 o'clock. I do want to honor your time, okay? So if you've got other questions, go ahead and get them in. We will get to those. If not, I know some of you guys still have JOBs and you may be on your lunch hour, so I just want to be respectful of your time, okay? But I do also want to get through all your questions. So the difference between an appraisal and a BPO, okay? And I'll cover CMA also, okay? Because those are the kind of the three main documents that we have, okay? Appraisal, a BPO, and a CMA. An appraisal is done for a specific purpose by a licensed and certified appraiser, okay? They've gone to appraisal school. They've gone and got certified in real estate appraising. They have a process that the State Board of Appraisers holds them to. So it's a unified process, a standard process. They're going to use comps and not use something stupid to value, come up with a value from, they'll use comps or they'll use replacement value or both. They usually give you both, and replacement value is different than, what's the other one they call it? Something like replication value. In other words, replacing a structure is sometimes cheaper than recreating a previous utility or structure or something like that. But an appraiser uses it. He's much more standardized. They have a purpose for their appraisal. Somebody comes to them to pay them for an appraisal. Hey, appraiser, I'm getting a loan, this lender, let me hook you up. Hey, the lender says, hey, appraiser, I want to pay you to do a standard residential mortgage appraisal, right? And so that appraiser says, hey, great, no problem, between $450 and $550, depending on the house and the lot and blah, blah, blah. And that lender's going to charge it to you. But he's going to go through and do a standard mortgage lending appraisal, which has a lot of different information in it that a lender uses, okay? The insurance company comes to an appraiser and says, hey, appraiser, we're in an insurance dispute. I want to pay you to do an insurance appraisal on this property, right? Insuring it for what? Well, insuring it for replacement, right? I've got a replacement cost on here and we want to know what the value of this property is compared to the replacement cost, this, that, and the other. Very similar looking appraisal, right? It's got a lot of all the same information. It's just a different purpose, okay? Because hey, me, private lender, I'm arguing with Wes here about the value of property he wants me to loan on. Wes says, hey, I'm right. And I say, hey, no, I'm right. And so we agree that we'll hire an appraiser, right, to do an appraisal. And whoever is right, they will pay for the appraisal. Whoever's wrong will pay for the appraisal. Okay. I say it's worth $100,000. Wes says it's worth $150,000. We go and hire an appraiser and say, hey, appraiser, here are your instructions. We want a residential appraisal value in as is condition. Okay. So now he's got new instructions, right? He's going to do the same form, the same format, same process, right? Standard appraisal process, but he's going to value it as is, not repaired, right? Or vice versa. We can say, hey, it's in horrible condition. Go out, look at it, figure out what is the value if we repair this thing. Okay. Now, what he's not going to tell you is what it'll cost to repair it. He's just going to look at this house, compare it to other houses that have been updated, rehabbed, repaired, and say, hey, don't know what it'll cost you to rehab it, but if you do a rehab job that's nice like these other houses, here's what you can get for it. Here's the value. Okay. That's an appraisal. What is a BPO? A BPO is a broker's price opinion. A broker's price opinion means that there's a broker standing behind a real estate agent doing that assessment of value. They call it a BPO because the broker guarantees, that doesn't guarantee the value, but guarantees the quality of the agent's work, so to speak. In other words, I'm a lender. I'm foreclosing on a property. I got the deal. I was right. Wes was wrong. I loaned to Wes. We come to terms. I loaned to him and I am having to foreclose on him. Okay. Well, guess what? As a lender, I don't want to spend $450-$500 on appraisal just to figure out what this property is worth today. Right. Because it was a long-term loan and it was a long time ago. And so I've got to foreclose on Wes and I need to know the value of the property. So I'm going to hire an agent to do a BPO that is a more standardized form. It's between an appraiser and a CMA. Okay. So the agent's going to go out. They're going to do an assessment of the property, do a BPO. Even if they can't get in, they can do a drive-by, right? Because I'm foreclosing and Wes may not let them in. And that's his right. And so, they're going to do an assessment of value, a broker's price opinion, and they're going to do a form that looks somewhat similar to an appraisal. It won't be nearly as formal, but it'll have three comp sales. It'll have three comp listings. It'll go through and discuss the property and this, that, and the other. And it's just a little more formal document. For that, hey, I'm willing to pay an agent $150, right? I don't want to pay $500 for an appraisal because the agent, honestly, and if any of you guys are appraisers, I'm sorry. I don't mean this derogatorily, but a real estate agent is always going to come up. A good real estate agent who does a good BPO, it's always going to come up with a more accurate value than an appraiser, right? And a lot cheaper and a lot faster. Okay. So just the way it is, the appraisal, not that it's not accurate, but it's behind the curve, right? A real estate agent can take into account current listings and sales, current trends in the market, current forces on the market values. An appraiser, he has to strictly look historically, right? He has to strictly look back. He cannot look forward. Okay. So big difference there, but that's a BPO, broker's price opinion. Now what's a CMA? CMA is a current market analysis, very informal. In fact, you ask me to do you a CMA. I'm going to pull a bunch of comps, write you a little dissertation saying why I think what the property's worth and tell you a number. That's a CMA, very informal, right? MLS, you can have it do quick CMAs for you. It's just taking averages. Okay. It's not really putting any strength of analysis into it. Although an agent CMA will. Okay. While MLS can do an AVM, an automated value model, and pull a quick CMA, that quick CMA is just really a listing of all the data you tell it to look at and pull and that you check. I want these comps, these comps, these comps. I don't want these, and these. And it pulls a quick CMA for you to review and come up with a value. Okay. So that's the difference between an appraisal, a BPO, and a CMA. Okay. All right. That was our last question, guys. So let me go ahead and stick a fork in it now. Let me just remind you guys, if you've not gone to bigdogcalendar.com, definitely go there. In fact, let me pull it up real quick. Let's see what The events are for the rest of this week and next. Hey, look at this. Tonight, Houston RENC. That is why I'm covering for Shanoa. She's on her way traveling to Houston. So if you guys are in Houston, there's the Houston RENC at the Doubletree by Hilton on Greenway Plaza tonight. Okay, so be there or be square. All right. Let's see. Next week, Tuesday, is San Antonio RENC. Okay, just got back from San Antonio. First Tuesday. Went down, did a foreclosure seminar. We had a meet and greet the Monday night before. Great time meeting all you peeps in San Antonio. If you were out there with us, thank you so much for coming out. We had a ton of fun. Met a lot of people. Got to put faces to a lot of names. Good times. Good times. And then let's see. Next week, Thursday in Dallas, we have the Dallas RIA. Okay, that's going to be at the Addison Marriott. Across the highway from the Galleria. They always say by the Galleria, but the Marriott Quorum is across the tollway, Dallas North Tollway, from the Galleria. Okay. But that's what I like about the Big Dog Calendar. I didn't even know where it was, right? We've usually been having that in some different places. And the Big Dog Calendar is always updated. So hit the Big Dog Calendar if you need to know where the current RIA is. I don't even look for my emails anymore. I just hit the Big Dog Calendar on my phone. I've got it linked as a favorite as I'm heading out to the truck, right, to head out to a RIA to figure out where I'm going that day. So that's how I do it. Anyway, check it out. Big Dog Calendar. It's got all the workshops at the top that'll help you out as well. Okay. So with that, guys, thanks for joining. Let's see. Wes says, thanks, Chris. Great call as usual. Thank you, Wes. Appreciate that. So guys, get out and get busy in your business, and we will see you all at your local RIAs. Thanks for joining. Take care. Bye-bye.